What's the fastest ball sport in the world? Not baseball, not tennis. It is, in fact, the sport of Jailai, spelled J-A-I-A-L-A-I. Originating in the Basque region of Spain and played professionally in the U.S., most notably in the 1980s, Jailai's making an unprecedented comeback. The ball reaches speeds of 150 miles an hour. The action is intense and the danger factor is high. Six-person teams of professional athletes play the sport at the Magic City Fronton in Miami, Florida. I invite you to check out all the action Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m. and Friday night at 7 p.m. Go to HighlieWorld.com or download the free Jailai app in the App Store. This sport, with its intensity and athleticism, is well worth watching. Check out all the action at HighlieWorld.com. Matches are played similar to tennis, with a player or team required to win two sets to win a match. Each set is played up to 6 points. It's a sport you need to check out. HighlieWorld.com, Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You draft the kid who's got it. You don't bottle it. Unleash the it.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It'll be a throw from Berrios to Zach Wilson for the touchdown. Double doink.
He missed it.
Double doink.
Double doink.
Unfortunately, and we lost the game.
Today's guests: two-time Super Bowl champion Chris Long, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer, plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yeah, baby. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live from Los Angeles, California.
Los Angeles.
We are here on the Roku channel, channel 210, everybody, yeah, for those scoring at home. And we are on every single day between 12 and 3 Eastern, and then we re-air once we're done. You cannot avoid us. And the same goes for listening to us live on the terrestrial radio network built and helped by Westwood One. I'll be sitting, by the way, in the Westwood One studios tonight for Monday Night Football between the Rams and the Niners. Pre and halftime for that one, we say hello to our terrestrial radio network, those listening on the Odyssey app, channel 218 on Sirius, channel 202 on XM, channel 992 for those who are trying to find us on the Sirius XM app or digitally. We say hello as well to those listening to us on our podcast whenever they darn well please. It's your right in this podcast listening world. It's the Cumulus Podcast Network that puts our show out all 3 hours every single day. Our YouTube page also requires a follow as well. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for all of that. We say hello to Chris Brockman. How are you, sir?
Hey, Rich.
Good to see you.
I'm great. What's up, man?
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts back
morning,
in his
Rich
post. And then riding high on a 3-game winning streak is my friend TJ Jefferson. Show your whiteboard, sir. I'm not even looking in direction. I'm sure you've already got the candle lit.
Hey, they didn't believe in this, but you know what, Rich?
Who's they?
God
How
did.
About them Cowboys?
Yeah! It's another Jimmy Johnson drop day for Dallas Cowboys.
God
fans
did.
In Rush, we trust.
There we go. There we go.
You're many starting quarterback.
Hey, Chris, we're on to Los Angeles.
That's all I can right. Really you're say. Coming out here.
We're on to Los Angeles.
I'm sure TJ and we'll speak about it throughout the week. You'll still be watching the show from your apartment.
If somebody gives me a good seat, maybe I'll
okay. Wow. Just tell Ashton to take you to the game.
That might be my only hope, Rich.
Right. 3-0,
I'm going to have to use that card. Yeah.
Lots to talk about on this 3-hour show and lots to talk about throughout this week. There's so many different ways to start this program. We could start with the double Lundoink. We could do that. You like that one? Double Lundoink.
That game ended up being bananas.
We could talk about the Packers almost getting zappied.
Go Packers.
We could talk about, wait a minute. I think this could be a fantasy team name, Chris.
Oh.
Poop cart in Detroit.
Oh jeez.
We had a poop cart in Detroit.
Come on.
For fantasy moniker purposes, Detroit poop cart.
I like that a little
That's
bit
better.
Better.
That's not. We know what the avatar is. Detroit poop cart. Or Motor City Poop Cart. We're workshopping. My Raiders are on the board.
Hey,
Raiders are on the board. Hey. Problem with that last one. Problem with me celebrating my choice for the AFC West champion of the 2022 season finally being on the board is then the Kansas City Chiefs played in Tampa last night.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
He good.
Did the Chiefs show up last night? Did the Chiefs show up last night? Rhetorical question. Yes, they did. They showed up in the spot where they lost the Super Bowl to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Patrick Mahomes running around for dear life on a terrible toe that required surgery subsequently on that night caused the Chiefs to go back to the drawing board on their offensive line. And a few observations from last night's game. I looked it up. When you play the Chiefs and you decide to put your offense out there first and get the ball first, you should not fumble the opening kickoff and give the ball to the Chiefs right on the 21-yard line.
That's good advice.
I looked it up just in case my instincts were awry.
Arias Consulting stays working.
Don't do it, future opponents of the Chiefs.
Avoid at all costs.
Here's what you don't want
because
to do.
Two plays later, Travis Kelce is doing whatever he's doing in the end zone.
He's doing that dance.
And then that just got the ball rolling. If you allow the Chiefs to get their figurative offensive ball rolling, problems. Problems. And we hadn't seen this offense since week one in Arizona, where they put up 44. And the next 2 weeks, in which they split their games, losing last week in Indianapolis.
How'd that happen?
And then the previous week, Kansas City taking on the Chargers at home, and that was a Thursday nighter in which we all know Herbert fractured his rib cartilage, but that was a tough row to hoe. Lots of tough sledding in the first half of that game, and the narrative is they miss number 10. Well, number 10 is now worn by seventh-round rookie Isaiah Pacheco, who last night was part of a running attack in which the Chiefs racked up 189 yards on 37 carries. And that's in addition to Mahomes finding nine different receivers. Nine. Three of them for touchdowns. Jody Fortson scored last night, everybody.
Jody Foster?
Don't know who that
no,
is.
No, Jody Fortson.
No relation to Danny?
Might be.
Sky Moore, a couple catches. Mecole Hardman just had one catch for 4 yards. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had one catch, could have had a second one for a touchdown. That's the only way the Bucs defense got off the field in the first half last night was when, on a 4th-and-1, a wide open Clyde Edwards-Helaire had one go off of his hands and his helmet. That's what the Chiefs did to the Bucs. Just absolutely bull rushed them. Bull rushed them with an actual rushing attack. And then bull rushed him with a whole bunch of plays, offensive plays. How about that rushing touchdown by Noah Gray last night, where Mahomes is play acting? Eric Stonestreet said he taught them how to ad lib, right?
That Stonestreet's taking credit for this?
Stonestreet tweeted out last night after Mahomes was pointing in a direction like he's directing traffic and everybody looks at 15 directing traffic on the 1 yard line, and Noah Gray just went under center. Oh, sneak. That's some free form crazy stuff that they're thinking of. That's a red zone play, folks.
How do you defend that?
You can't. You can't defend this team when Mahomes is street balling. And he's also operating this offense like a maestro. And you can't stop Noah Gray and Jody Fortson from double-teaming you. That's the problem the Chiefs present still after all this time. And defensively, they're getting after you. That kid Snead, can he play football or what? And George Karlaftis, who they drafted. And, of course, Chris Jones, when he's not saying magic words that I would kill to still know what he said in Indianapolis, yeah, it caused him to get fined. They find him for it.
I'd still be alive.
But Legarius Sneed and everybody else, different levels of this defense, man. Problem. They have presented a major issue for everybody when they're playing like this, and they played like that last night. And the offensive line, they got to love. I mean, talk about just returning to the scene of their utter disappointment in that Super Bowl that night, where they got outpointed in the first half by Brady, Fine, and Gronk all those times. And Mahomes was running for his life. And we even, you know, we talked about it with Brett Veach, their general manager, within a couple weeks later. He's just like, yeah, I looked at that the team that night, and I'm like, we got to redo our offensive line. And they did. And they blew open damn near 200 yards of holes against the number one rushing defense. And this is a specialty, pardon me, of Mahomes, is to beat the number one scoring defense in the NFL. He's now 6-1 against the number one scoring defense in his career in the NFL, putting up 30 points per game and passing for 322 yards.
Dang, that's a good stat.
The Bucs allowed, on average, coming into this game, 9 points per game, and he destroyed them. I mean, that play, again, that he flipped it to Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the end zone after running to his right and creating space and creating time.
Hit the spin button.
And then, honestly, it looked like he was shooting free throw right there, which, by the way, he practiced before the game. NBC showed that.
That was ridiculous.
Rich, he's out there just playing
streetball. He's just playing streetball. Now, this is the streetball that dumbass, unnamed coordinator said that's all he does, but clearly that's all he does.
He also can't defend it.
You know what he also does? He also barks at Travis Kelce for getting in the way of a pass in this game, which is already basically decided.
Yeah, that was weird.
And Kelsey's just like, yeah, you could even see it. The international body language of, yeah, my bad.
Yeah.
My bad.
You know what's interesting, Rich? Mahomes has 11 touchdowns on the year. You know how many wide receivers have caught? 2.
Well, he said
he's just
it's a different player every game. It's a different player every game, and he warned that of fantasy players for who are going to take Chiefs this year. But obviously, you know, he and Kelce, it's tough to watch this and not think they're going in the Hall of Fame together.
Yeah.
Those two guys, that's what I thought when he's barking at Kelce and they, you know, and he tapped him on the helmet and Kelce kind of had like a my bad hangdog look after having an incredible night. I'm like, these two guys are going to there. They're going to camp. They're going to be in a bus.
Kelce will be there a little before him.
No doubt.
Mahomes has got like 20 years.
I'm sure. Certainly in this day and age.
Blair Buswell already has the clay molding.
And then one last thing, apropos of nothing on the Chiefs. Certainly, as you know, NBC has the players on camera announcing their names in schools.
Love that.
Just go ahead and look next time when the Chiefs' offensive line pops up. Do they lead the league in offensive lines that look like offensive linemen? All of them?
The big
like all five of them, you're like, yeah, that's a, if you just had them stand in front of you in life, you go, you play offensive line, right? You're an offensive lineman, right?
That's funny.
Just take a look at him.
I got a sports talk question for you, too, about this game.
Okay.
Do you feel, after watching last night, do you feel better about the Chiefs or worse about the Bucs?
I think the Bucs are fine.
I accept the question for two reasons. One, it's sports talk radio.
Yeah.
And then number two, I see what you're driving at. And I will go with, I feel better about the Chiefs because that's still TB12. And man, that dime he dropped on Mike Evans hitting to the back pylon, right?
That was amazing.
I'm not concerned that Brady is defrayed. I'm not looking at this game and thinking to myself, that's an old man out there
growing old in front of us.
Is what we're, as you know, we're all waiting for that other shoe to drop. And this defense, you could just, this is a bury the tape type game for that defense. And at some point, you know, everybody's going to stay healthy for Brady, I would think. I do believe he misses Gronk. I do believe that he's got to make that call. I do believe that call will come from within his house in very short order. Cole Beasley's not the answer. I mean, I don't know who else can DM him. It ain't going to be Antonio Brown, who put the D in Dubai, apparently.
Hey,
so, you know, I don't believe there's going to be anybody who can walk through that door other than Gronk to help out the current situation. And they need one of those running backs not named Fournette to take the carries. Like, they need a Pacheco. They need a guy who can do what Isaiah Pacheco did.
Oh, White.
Who
White
can come in and give me some serious positive
yards. I know White fumbled the opening kickoff, but he ended up having a nice second half.
Well, the problem for the Bucs on Ronald Jones is he's on the Chiefs practice squad. He can't even suit up for him.
I forgot my bad on that one.
He can't even suit up for him. for Kansas City because they have so many damn others.
Yeah. I almost did an overreaction about the Bucks, but you know, I'm kind of holding off a little bit. But I feel a little bit worse about them than I do about the Chiefs.
I'm still not there because I believe in Brady. And I take a look at that division. I think they're going to get some nice wins in that division despite Atlanta suddenly coming up over the last couple of weeks. I still think that Tampa wins that division. And I think that they're going to get a home playoff game. I'm concerned about their ability to get their bye week, but it is just 4 weeks in here. I'm concerned that they don't have their tie break against Green Bay. We'll see what happens when they take on the Rams later on this fall. I am concerned about the long term, my choice of them as the Super Bowl choice out of the NFC, but there's still a lot of marathoning to go. But the Chiefs now have twice in the first 4 weeks put up a 40 burger, and they take on the Bills in 2 weeks. And just to bring it all full circle, their next game is against the Raiders. So the Raiders better clean up a lot of the mistakes that they still made yesterday. Yeah. Red zone mistakes. I mean, they left the door open for the Broncos in many ways yesterday. And the Chiefs now, that's next for them in Arrowhead on Monday night to wrap up week 5. But Kansas City has shown its mettle, to say the least. And last night was incredibly impressive. And their relentlessness on offense. Still there. Chris Long, our friend from the Greenlight Podcast, 2-time Super Bowl champ, perfect guy to join us once again in his usual Monday spot, certainly with the Doug Peterson reunion yesterday in Philadelphia, where the Eagles in the rain came back from 2 scores down to keep things undefeated for them. Also, Albert Breer will join us on this program to answer some important questions involving quarterbacks. Is Baker Mayfield about to lose his gig in Carolina? Did Mitchell Trubisky lose his gig yesterday? Also, by the way, over the weekend, the Players Association fired the independent neurologist who looked at Tua 8 days ago.
There's nothing to see here.
And I've got a couple of cents on that subject matter, and Breer will also chime in on that. It's Overreaction Monday. I've got also the top 5 surprises of this season through 4 weeks.
I know Cooper Rush is on that list.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. Don't you dare move. He's not on the list, by the way.
Dang it.
I expected that out of Cooper Rush.
Did you?
Yes, certainly when Jerry invited the quarterback controversy that's now arrived in the Metroplex. I knew that's going to happen 1,000,000%. 844-204-RICH, number to dial as well. We're back on what in the world was John Harbaugh thinking yesterday. Every deep playoff run starts with building an amazing team. Doing the same for your business doesn't take a room full of scouts. You need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Don't spend hours on multiple job sites looking for candidates with the right skills when you can do it all with Indeed. And if you hate waiting, who doesn't? Indeed U.S. data shows over 80% of Indeed employers find quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches their job description the moment they sponsor a job. You get virtual interviews. That saves you time with Indeed. You can message, schedule, and interview top talent all in one place. So easy with your applicants. No need to install anything extra. Indeed's virtual interview tool works from your browser. Indeed knows when you're growing your business, you have to make every dollar count. That's why when you sponsor a job, you only pay for quality applications from resumes in our database that matches your job description. Visit Indeed.com/richpodcast to start hiring now. Just go to Indeed.com/richpodcast. Indeed.com/richpodcast. Terms and conditions apply. Cost per application pricing not available for everyone. Need to hire? You need Indeed. 844-204-RICH, number to dial, 2000, 2008, 2022. When it comes to the economy, these have been some scary times, huh? Dot-com crash in 2000, housing crash in 08, and now the roller coaster that we are on right now. Do not look at your 401ks every now and then. But over 31,000 businesses have the confidence and clarity they need because they rely on NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, and budgeting so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need all in one place. That's why 93% of customers say they improve their visibility and control when they upgraded to NetSuite. What are you waiting for? Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richradio right now. netsuite.com/richradio. netsuite.com/richradio. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll take some phone calls in a short amount of time. Don't you worry. So many other games to get to. Bills and Ravens. You knew that was going to be the old Donnybrook. Ravens really took it to the Bills early on. And just when you thought maybe the Bills would have a hangover from the previous week where they played a de facto playoff game, 100-degree weather with 100% humidity in Miami, right? They put their foot down and came back and won that football game. Now then, there's lots in between those lines I just said, don't you think? Yeah. Lots between those lines, which is the way the Bills came back and had a chance to win it. The Ravens, man, fourth and goal, fourth and short, right on the doorstep. They could have Justin Tucker.
He's pretty good.
He's a gimme from like 50. So a gimme from, you know, inside the red zone, that's 3 points.
Yep.
Yeah. Problem is if you get the 3 points, are you going to stop Buffalo from even getting into the spot to kick a field goal? Now you're forcing overtime on a defense that you've got to sit there and wonder, do they have it? Because the Bills started getting some momentum. And perhaps what happened against the Dolphins is in the back of John Harbaugh's head screaming at him. And maybe after that fourth quarter against the Dolphins, last time they were in the bank 2 weeks before, it's just like he walked out of, we're not going to do that again. If I'm going to leave it up, I'm going to leave it in Lamar's hands.
Lamar.
That's who I'm going to leave it in. If I have a chance to leave it in Lamar's hands and feet, I'm going to leave it in that spot. He's our MVP. And they dialed up a play, by the way, with an easy gimme touchdown. Problem is Lamar is after the game when he was at, what did you see on that play? And he didn't see, I think it was Bateman wide open in the end zone. And he said he saw a huge defender with his arms up right at him. I mean, he didn't see it. And problem is he threw it in the end zone. Jordan Poyer picks it off. So even if that's part of the equation for going for it, you don't make it, the Bills are right on the shadow of their own goal line. So maybe you get it back. You play defense because the Bills are under duress. Then you can have Justin Tucker kick the game winner. You get the chance to just wind the clock down. And then Tucker kicks the game winner. Problem is there was an interception. And that's the worst result. No points. And also
field position.
The field position. Right. You don't get no goal line shadow. Bills march down the field with the help of one of the worst roughing the passer calls of the year, if not the worst to date. I don't know what Jerome Boger was looking at. Wow. And we can place that aside for the moment, other than the fact that I think this stuff should be reviewable. And the league office has everybody in that Art McNally Center, and they could see that that wasn't the proper call. Just get in the guy's ear and just say, pick the flag up, Jerome. But I don't believe that's legal yet. The competition committee should make that a legal situation. So that was an extra help. And of course, you know, the Bills win the football game. And now everybody turns to the head coach and John Harbaugh afterwards and say, what were you thinking?
Well, I felt like it gave us the best chance to win the game. Because seven, the worst that happens is if they go down the field and score, and I think we'll get them stopped, but if they go down the field and score a touchdown, the worst thing that can happen is that you're in overtime. But you kick a field goal there, now it's not a three-down game anymore, it's a four-down game. You're putting them out there, you're putting your defense at a disadvantage because they've got four downs to convert all the way down the field and a chance to, again, score seven, and then you lose the game on a touchdown. So And then the worst thing, the other thing, you think you're going to get the ball at the 2-yard line. So I'm very confident in our defense. Defense's ability to stop them down there with the ball on the 2-yard line. So we got them backed up. If we don't get it, didn't turn out that way, unfortunately, and we lost the game. So hindsight, you could take the points. But if you look at it analytically, I understand why we did it.
So my only response to that would be, it's still, if you kick the field goal, it's still a 4-down offensive situation, I would think. You know, the Bills are going to go for it.
Unless they're in field goal range.
I guess they would have maybe punted on their side of the field and played a little bit of defense, but I don't think the clock was in their favor at that point in time anyway. That it's still a 4-down situation, most likely, for them to get into field goal range. And look, I totally understand that he's got a defense that he doesn't probably doesn't want to play overtime with. And you got Lamar right on the doorstep, and you got a play call that worked, except he got rushed, and then he threw it in the end zone that got intercepted. But it's also a very tough situation for him. And I, you know, look, he's been there forever. I wish I had had a GoPro, if there was a GoPro on, you know, Steve Bisciotti, front of the program, in his suite, sitting up there with his buddies watching this game as they went for it and then they lost. I'm sure it wasn't a pleasant moment. But, you know, Harbaugh, that's what, you know, to Bisciotti's credit, Harbaugh has the latitude to make a call like that and not worry about his gig, where other coaches might have the seat turned up hotter. But Marcus Peters was livid. Cornerback needed to be held back by a defensive assistant, I assume it was, throwing his helmet. After the game, Harbaugh said, "We're cool," or at least I think we are, is what he said. And he loves Peters' fire and whatnot. But that's the problem, is you've now looked at your defense, and the defense could easily take from this, "You don't believe in us." Because it's much easier to do the Harbaugh chant of "Who's got it better than us? Nobody." Than "Who does math better than us? Nobody." Because that's the analytics. It's just like, hey, we had a 69% chance of winning if we went with the field goal, and a 75% chance of winning if we went for the touchdown, and that's a 6% chance of winning. I'm going to go with the 6% chance if I got an MVP on the 1-yard line. That's tough to go. When it's just like, okay, you kick the 3, play defense, and you win the football game. Problem is that they haven't been able to play defense in the fourth quarter. Twice now at home.
Or have a better play call. Like, why is Lamar rolling?
The play call worked. The play call worked. The guy was wide open in the end zone. It's just that he
threw a pick.
Well, because he got rushed right away. If they blocked a little better up front. Or, I don't think the play call was the issue. The issue was, if he had thrown it out of the back of the end zone, it would have still been better for them than to give the ball on the 20.
Right.
Was it the 20? Yeah, the 20. Or 25. Look, man. They're 2-2, and that's, how about this in the AFC North? Bengals, once upon a time, 0-2, now 2-2. Ravens, now 2-2. Browns lose in Atlanta. They're 2-2. Bengals are out of the basement. They're out of jail. That 0-2 start was supposed to be the killer. Now, Sunday night, the Bengals go to Baltimore, and it's now Joe Burrow against the team who he put 500 up last December. This division is wide open.
Playoffs start today. Bengals in, Ravens out.
Oh, ridiculous.
Just saying.
Let's talk Steelers a little bit here.
Steelers.
Because Kenny Pickett time, it appears.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It's Kenny Pickett time. He comes in a game. The Steelers are spinning their wheels. They fell down by 10. Pickett comes in the game. He throws a pick. But at least he's going vertical, throwing a double coverage. At least he's going vertical. And problem is Pickett still lost? And Mitchell Trubisky is removed from a team that's just 1-2, spinning their wheels at home. And this is a coach who was saying for a week, like, the offense is fine. I'm not even thinking about this. Tamped all the questions about whether Mitchell Trubisky was on shaky ground, tamped him right down. And how about this? Mike Tomlin pushes the Kenny Pickett button in the middle
of game four at home in Acrisure. And Pickett threw the ball well and did provide somewhat of a spark. And the team went up by 10. Should have closed it, but didn't. Now that leads to Mike Tomlin being asked, what was that all about?
What went into the decision to put Kenny in?
Just thought we needed a spark, man. We didn't do much in the first half. Not enough offensively, and, you know, thought he could provide a spark for us. You know, I'm not going to talk extended as we sit here. We did what we needed to do to put ourselves in position to win this game, and we'd do it again. But I like to just keep it where we are in terms of what transpired here today. We'll deal with next week.
And obviously, it's now next week. By the way, at Buffalo. At Buffalo. For Pittsburgh. Now, Pittsburgh did win there last year in week one. One of those wins that one of those losses for the Bills that are right around Thanksgiving. We were like, it's, you know, sometimes teams that have Super Bowl aspirations and look Super Bowl worthy have losses early in the season that you revisit right around Thanksgiving saying, how the hell did that happen? Well, that was one of them for the Bills last year. Now, we just talked about it. John Harbaugh's decision to go for it. That backfired on him. He's tenured and fine. Nobody more tenured and fine than Mike Tomlin, obviously, in Pittsburgh. The issue is for Pittsburgh with Tomlin is we're going to see if he cheats the quarterback position differently. What do I mean by that? Well, Miami's current Defensive Player of the Year candidate, Melvin Ingram, once got sent away because the team, as Tomlin said, wants volunteers, not hostages.
Great quote.
After the game, Mitchell Trubisky sure looked like a hostage in the Pittsburgh locker room. Roll tape.
Performance related, or he was looking for a spark in the second?
You have to ask him.
That's what he said. He was looking for a spark. Just so.
Looking for a spark. There you go.
Ooh, looking for a spark. There you go.
Jeez.
And he looked livid. Honestly, he looked like one of those people who was on a video. Like, yikes. Get me out of here.
Yikes.
Blink twice if you want out. That certainly doesn't look like a volunteer to me. That looks like a hostage. And he's going into Buffalo, where, as you know, he was the backup last couple years. Might mean something for him to start that game and prove his worthiness. And Tomlin might push that button. Maybe he will. Deontay Johnson, after the game, said, obviously, it's a rebuilding year, is what he said.
Obviously.
That's what he said. That's what the guy who they just paid at receiver just said. Obviously, it's a rebuilding year, and they're going to move forward with Kenny. So how do you go back to Mitch? I don't think you're going to. I think it's the Pickett show. And I think his first career start is at Buffalo.
Let's go, baby.
And then after that, let's see how he does against TB12 with Tom Brady playing what we assume will be his last appearance in Pittsburgh before he's got to go point for point with Tua in front of the whole country on a Sunday night. And then Jalen Hurts and the currently undefeated Eagles come to town, and there's a bye. So that's a heck of a row to hoe for Kenny Pickett. That's your current Pittsburgh Steelers scenario at 1-3. If he has small hands, he's better have a big heart.
Wow.
Seriously. This is the conversation. That's all we've heard about Pickett. Now it's his time. Now then, if you are a Steeler fan saying, what the hell is Tomlin thinking putting him in the middle of that game? What's he doing? Let me help you. Back off, coach. Why? There's a Jets in town. And the New York Jets, for the last several years, have been expert at few things. But one of the things at which the Jets were expert was allowing a team in the AFC North to insert their rookie quarterback in the middle of a game and not only thrive, but earn a starting job right from then and there. Let's not forget how Baker Mayfield was born in Cleveland on a Thursday night. Hugh Jackson didn't want to put Baker Mayfield in. He wanted to stick with Tyrod Taylor because Hugh Jackson is Hugh Jackson. And Baker Mayfield comes in the middle of that game against the Jets.
And he looked like Bernie Kosar on steroids. Because it's the Jets. Jets had only won once in my lifetime. I'm a 53-year-old man with a lot of ish going on. Jets had won only once in my lifetime in Pittsburgh. That's it. They were 1-for-11 in that town. So, of course, you're going to put Pickett in there. It's like a friggin' homecoming game. Zach Wilson, he's coming off the operating table. It's his first start. Who cares that he's Philly specialing his way into Pittsburgh in the end zone and doing a very nice gritty spinning a ball? Braxton Berrios is throwing touchdown passes.
Doing the gritty?
Don't. And Tomlin didn't take that cheese. He's like, we're putting Pickett in this game. But guess what we found out? These are not the same old New York Jets, are they? How about you? Zach Wilson going 10 for 12 in the fourth quarter.
Doing that dance.
Doing his Joe Flacco impersonation in Cleveland. There's no elf on the field.
No elf.
There's Zach Wilson. Overcoming two picks just when I'm thinking, oh, God. Here goes. And even the football gods getting ready to kick me in the nuts again.
Can you say
with
that?
Breece Hall with 16 seconds left fumbling right on the end zone. But somehow, some way. The review process came out with Breece Hall creasing the end zone. He reversed it. Get out of here. How about these New York Jets at 2-2? Breece Hall scoring touchdowns. How about them in third place? Getting ready. Yes.
Yes.
They went 2-2 against the AFC North. I guess it's only fitting since three teams in the AFC North have the same record, so...
Math.
They're 2-2. Now here comes Tua. We assume, since he's watching MacGruber on the flight home.
MacGruber.
From last weekend. Here comes the Dolphins. Maybe it's Teddy H2O.
Teddy Two Gloves.
Former Jet. One of his many stops.
Teddy might be playing for a while.
I hope so. But all I'm saying is that's what I was talking about last week. I needed to see it again. Wasn't pretty. Wasn't pretty. And Tomlin did his best for his team. Did his best for his team. And the Jets showing, we're not just the team that you insert your rookie quarterback in and everything works well anymore. And I love it. Minka Fitzpatrick grumbling after the game about losing to a team that's not better than you. Hey, there's a scoreboard.
I know.
In that spot with no ketchup bottles anymore. I was certainly acra sure there were more points on the Jets side when it all ended, huh?
Guy wins one road game.
Oh, yeah, baby. Two. Two road games. Two. Two. Fourth quarter comebacks. Where do these come from? I don't understand. It does not compute. Fourth quarter comebacks. Fourth quarter comebacks. Jets down by up by 10, then down by 10 and still win? That doesn't happen. Oh, the other team decides to insert their rookie quarterback middle of the game and it doesn't work? What? Say what? They're the team that's left grumbling? What? I don't understand that. I just, after that result, walked up to my dog and make sure she didn't meow.
Cats and dogs.
I was going to go to a petting zoo to see if pigs were flying. Oh, baby. Let's go. Let's go. We're grittying, and Mac Jones is looking up at the standings.
He didn't play.
It doesn't matter. I'm flowing, buddy. I'm flowing right now. My quarterback's coming off of the operating table from up the PCH from here. He's spinning footballs and grittying. Not a bad gritty either. Not a bad one.
Wasn't bad. Better than Max.
Oh, baby. Love it. I'll take some phone calls next. I can't wait to speak to people. I couldn't believe the Jets won that game. And the Steelers are the ones grumbling. And they won in Pittsburgh for only the second time in the Super Bowl era. Okay. Now let's take on Tyreek Hill. Hey, Tyreek, you don't want a piece of New York, huh? Want to go down to South Florida? Well, come on up here. I'm writing some serious checks.
Well, they have a better record than you
I know.
Guys.
I get it. Come on. Let me have the moment.
These are temporary checks.
I know.
Those regular
temp checks.
Oh, no.
Well, you got to write your account number in the bottom.
Account number in the bottom.
Okay.
Temporary. Wow.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls. Chris Long's going to join us in hour number two. Back with more in a moment.
There's a whole school.
For those who are just joining us here on a terrestrial radio outfit, Chris Brockman coming from my best dad ever sign. He's solo. Sarah's in Vegas. She was in Vegas.
She's back. She's back today.
Okay, yeah, but you were solo this morning. You had to get cage ready
weekend.
By yourself.
Yeah.
He's 2.5.
2.5.
Okay.
He was not into getting dressed today.
You got to chase him around. You got to run around.
Big fight about not getting dressed. No good dress.
Fight.
And he's like kicking and screaming. I got to pick him up. They are forced.
Careful.
The whole to-do.
Your father of the year.
Yeah.
So you made almond butter and jelly?
Then I made lunch with almond butter jelly.
Now, very important. One piece of bread. Cut in half.
Half.
Do you peanut butter on both sides and then jelly in the middle?
No. Peanut butter, the butter on one side and the jam on the other side.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Let me help you out here.
Yeah.
What are you guys talking about?
Almond butter on one side,
yep.
Almond butter on the other side, jelly on one side,
but that's disproportionate. Now you're 66% butter and only 33% jam.
Yeah, I think
depends on how much of the...
Excuse me, I'm an expert at this. Trust me.
When was the last time you made one of these? Exactly.
See, I mean, don't...
It's been a while.
2015,
you don't
maybe?
You forget how to make one of those.
Dude.
I do drop off every Wednesday, and I had to do it today.
Chris.
I got it locked in.
Chris, you've been a long time. Mm-hmm. I don't shine shoes no more.
He doesn't make PB.
My kids have grown up.
Yeah, I know.
They're all grown stuff. But every now and then, I'll do it. Excuse me. The man you look at today grew up on peanut butter and jelly in my Hong Kong Fooey lunchbox.
Number one super guy.
Big time. To the point where...
I was 18.
Peanut butter and jelly. I'm a PBJ. I'm made like well. This. You know how it says made in America? Something made with PBJ. This guy right here.
Same.
What's his lunchbox?
Oh, it's just a call.
Come on. Get out of here.
It's totally generic. It's really thin. It's not like we had it. We didn't have, we had the boxes back in the day.
Yeah.
It's not like that anymore.
Tin, like made of metal.
Made
of metal.
Yeah.
Rambo.
Yeah.
My mom sent it out.
I think my Hong Kong Fooey lunchbox was made of the black box from Airplanes.
Oh, yeah.
Like you could drop that thing. You could drop that thing in fourth grade science. And it
was locked in there.
Yeah.
Kids are soft now. It's not like that anymore.
Is that really?
Plastic.
Don't bring that on the kids.
Yeah.
You should do it yourself.
Plastic.
Get a little Lightning McQueen action.
Who?
Oh, my God. Make it?
Come on.
We did watch Cars.
You know who Lightning McQueen is?
Oh, is that from Cars?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we watched Cars 3 this morning.
This NFL season, every Westwood One NFL broadcast streams live for free. Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, Thanksgiving, and Christmas triple headers. The international series in every postseason game. Again, I'll be on Westwood One's halftime and pregame coverage tonight of Rams 49ers. A great game to finish that one up. Now, normally when I see somebody calling in from Lebanon after I talk about the Steelers, it's Pennsylvania. But Hugh is calling in from Beirut, it seems. Is that true, Hugh? Are you calling in from the Middle East right now on the Roku channel?
Actually, technically, it's not true. I am 20 miles north of Beirut in a village called Harissa. Just like the spice. If you Google it, there's a really cool statue that the Italians donated.
Okay.
Up in the mountains overlooking the Med. It's kind of awesome.
Okay. So what's getting your goat in Lebanon, sir? Call us. What do you got?
I've been here a year, so the regular power outages and the lack of infrastructure and the kleptocracy of our government, I guess it's funny what you get used to. I'm just... kind of about to jump off a bridge a little bit about the Ravens. So
I don't mean to laugh, but geopolitics and analytics have just come together to earn us this phone call. So what's on your? It's just four games in, man. I mean, seriously,
Oh God, I know. It just feels like the 2018 season before they put Jackson in. That just doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of accountability on the coaches. And kind of throughout, I know we're coming off the injuries. I know I'm just, I'm just caught up in it, but we could be 4-0 if we didn't have these epic collapses in the fourth quarter. I mean, Ravens defenses that can't finish out with a multi-touchdown lead. I mean, what is that? I mean, that's not Ravens defense.
Well, I know I know that Ray Lewis is not walking through that door, nor is Ed Reed. Wow. But I would just counsel you to say this: the lack of accountability that you refer to is actually a smart organizational dynamic where the owner gives the coach the latitude to make decisions that are risky or not. And the play call worked, if not for a pass rusher in Lamar's face. And, you know, I guess Lamar should have thrown it through the back of the end zone. And that would at least have given them the field position battle. And they lost both. They lost the battle and then the war.
And I'm with you. No, I've waved the banner of the organizational solvency. And I love being a Ravens fan for a lot of reasons, and that's one of the best reasons to be a Ravens fan is because of the organization.
I've just got to ask you this question, if you don't mind, because I'm up at the end of the hour.
You can have as many as you want, right?
I'm just wondering, Hugh, I'm just going to crowdsource. How do you take in this show from Lebanon? How do you take us in?
So, and I'm hoping I'm not outing myself to the powers that be, but this phone call that I've been on hold is the first time I've heard you guys live in a year.
Okay.
Because for whatever reason, Lebanon does not participate in maybe some international, like the piracy and licensing agreements or something, so nobody trusts an IP address come from Lebanon. Even a VPN doesn't work very well.
Okay.
So I'm listening to you the next day on Spotify, things like that. But somehow the wormhole exists and my Game Pass works on my computer, not on my television, not on my phone, only on my laptop. And, you know, going back to the perfect game that your kid called, I'm trying not to call the no-hitter here.
Okay, but, very good. Thank you for you're the best. Thanks. Keep listening. Keep taking it. Thanks for the call, Hugh. Basically, you're in Lebanon, and you're wondering if your internet is going to hold.
Amazing. That was awesome.
And it holds just long enough for you to hear Chris Myers' call of DK Metcalf going out on a poop cart. Okay. That's 21st century technology for you. That's 21st century.
He's there. I'm up here.
He's up here. I'm there. He's going.
He's down there and DK, going in there.
DK dropping a deuce. We'll have to hit this a little bit more, if you will.
Wow.
They reported that. I was like, what do we do?
Baby.
The crystal clear phone call. Amazing.
Incredible. Hey. That is just amazing. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Chris Long, when we come back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing over there, TJ?
Oh, man.
Well, I'm a little sad, but, you know.
What are you sad about?
Well, baseball didn't quite go.
Well, Dak's never going to play again way. Either.
Well, hold on a minute. That I'm not worried about.
TJ's World. Word Association.
Love it.
Because we only have a minute and a half left.
Yep.
Word Association. Cowboys.
One.
Mets.
Still alive.
Well.
Can I play the Padres, maybe?
Still alive.
What does that mean?
What do you mean?
We won 100 games. You won 100 games.
We were, made the playoffs. Okay. We're still alive.
All right. Penn State Nittany Lions.
Ooh.
You know, we are.
Okay, that's good enough. Oh, we are. Good team. Oh, my goodness gracious.
One of your basketball teams.
2 weeks, Michigan, Penn State, baby.
Syracuse.
Yeah. How about that?
22, baby. Ranked for the first time since Dino called in.
The curse of Brockman's is over.
It's
reversed. It's reversed.
If NC State could have held on and upset Clemson, we could have had game day in 2 weeks. But I don't think
Syracuse is one of the only few spots that doesn't have game day anymore because Kansas is getting it thanks to Jalen Daniels, right? Is that his name?
Yeah.
And one of our glue guys last year is Kansas undefeated.
We have a bye week next week, but on the 10th, we could have the next week we could have had NC State at home. Could have had game day, but we're ranked. We're back.
I've just been told, hold on a minute, talking Syracuse football is causing Roku to have second thoughts.
I'm sure they have
wait a minute.
Lots of Syracuse executives. No? We're everywhere.
Brockman's like, Georgia who?
Yeah.
They almost lost to Mizzou.
Get that
look
out
at
of my
Syracuse.
Ross Matthews talks to celebrities, friends, and people with interesting stories to tell. Who's saying, hello, Ross, this week? Chelsea Handler.
I'm not home enough to have a third dog. My housekeeper basically is their parent. I'm not going to get another dog so that she has to take care of another dog until one of these dogs exits.
It's a good move. I have three rescue dogs and only two hands. And when you're one person, that's too hard to do. I recommend two max, okay?
Use your foot, Ross.
Hello, Ross. Available on YouTube or wherever you listen.